What's up, Mzanzi? Welcome to Farmers Inside Track, episode 380. I'm your host, Octavius Pandil. Now, today we are clucking about chicken coops. That's right. We're going to get down to the nitty-gritty of building the perfect coop for your favorite friends. Joining us is Brian Nyakudaga, Chief Executive Officer at Temuka Oasis Farm, where he will share his knowledge from picking the prime location on your land to putting the finishing touches on your coop, as well as coop designs that fit your flock size, essential features to keep your hens safe and comfy. Brian, welcome to Farmers Inside Track. It's absolutely amazing to have you with us. Today, we will be delving into building a chicken coop and some of that information that farmers need, that specific 101. What factors should be considered when designing a coop?
Thank you, Octavia, for having me today. There are a lot of factors that a farmer should consider because chickens, they are very versatile animals. So when you have to actually try to breed chickens, especially for on a large scale, you really need to ensure that before even designing a coop, your environment, is it properly sited? What do I mean by that? You should have a person who has to advise you, because the most common thing that people do not really consider is the issue of something which is so simple about where the sun sets and where the sun rises, because your chickens are not supposed to be exposed to direct sunlight. So you might even have right structure, but if it is not sited properly, then you have problem also in the issue of how your birds are going to grow. So the first thing is you just have to also to site, and the issue of environmental factors, where your sun rises and where your sun sets. And also you have to have a general idea of the wind direction, because certain structures, there are certain areas that have got a lot of wind pressures. So if you do not have an engineer who advise you, you put a chicken structure, and before you know, the wind can just blow the roof and then you are left exposed. Because as you know, this is a structure. It's not like a housing structure. So people, they just overlook certain areas. And then when they have their chickens and then they are in business, they might have some disadvantages when it comes to some natural hazards that can come. So the first thing that people should have is a bit of advice to the farmers. They should seek a person who would come to look at their area, and then they advise on siting. And after siting, there are also other factors now which needs to be incorporated, which is like the basing on the regulations of the South Africa Poultry Association.
How does coop design differ for different types of farming? Like, for example, the egg production, the meat bird breeders, or what's the difference that farmers need to take into consideration with the type of coops that they are designing and the breeds that they are breeding with?
I'm a broiler farmer, so I'm focused mainly on the meat production, but there are definitely three types of coops. So the design of a broiler is different, or for meat is different from egg production. And how so? The first thing that you should incorporate is an issue of ensure that the ones that are the meat production, the spacing is actually different from the layers. So the regulations stipulate that per bed, if I don't put in square meters, there should be 15 centimeters per bed. So whatever amount that of hens that you have, they should be 15 centimeters apart. First thing is the amount of bed that you want to put, you should ensure that the spacing is okay. And then the second aspect is that the ground is different. Most people, they might maybe get old structures that have got tiling and they have got a certain floor, but the floor is supposed to be made of hard concrete because it does not seep water for a long time, especially if you are doing meat production. And it's actually different from the one you're doing with the one of egg production. When you consider this construction, because it depends whether you are going to be putting your eggs in crates or they are automated to come out. But in my particular case, we are not doing egg production. What you have to do is to ensure that it has to be user-friendly, in the sense of you are going to put bedding, which is supposed to be changed. So it has to have two entrance points. The one is to enter, the one is to exit. Because you enter you in the chicken house and it's not the same entrance, that are the same passage you used to get out. So when you are considering a design, when it comes to egg production, it can have also two exit paths. But for the meat production, it has two, but specifically to ensure that you put litter and then you remove from the other side, depending also on the time frame that you are going to be changing your litter. So basically, the most important thing when you are talking of design here, we'll be talking in the issue of pacing as well as ensuring that there's no intra-contamination, because these chickens that are in, they put their poop in there, water spillage. You don't want to risk factors of infections that are going to affect your birds because of hygienic factors. So you are supposed to have that access of when you access your chicken coop, and the way you exit is not the same way you enter. So the passageways are the ones which are also more important. You are supposed to ensure that your ventilation is well considered into, is well looked into. What do I mean by that issue of ventilation? Because you can design your chicken coop in a sense that at the base, you can build with bricks and up to 1.5 meters. And then going up, you put a mesh which a spacing of 3 millimeters up to the roof and ensure that it is well stretched. And your chicken coop is supposed to have a height of 2.8 to 3.5 meters so that there's adequate ventilation. And this ventilation is especially for meat production because they need to have proper ventilation, because this ventilation, most of the chicken diseases, they come from airborne. So if you do not consider the ventilation aspect of things, then you will know that you might not reach 4 weeks with your chickens. They start suffocating, because from day one to day 15, they can survive because they are still small. But once the internal organ starts to grow, your ventilation aspect needs to be also to be considered. When you are dealing with layers, the ventilation aspect is not that strict because people, they mainly use automated forms of ventilation where they use vents. But when it comes to meat production, natural ventilation is required because the type of chickens are different.
Brian, what are the pros and cons of various coop layers to actually consider?
Pros and cons of coop layers to consider. The first thing that you are supposed to consider is if you use a mobile coop, meaning you can move your chicken coop from point A to point B, that one is not advisable when you are doing commercial farming. People, they actually try to use it because it's user-friendly, meaning to say if you are at a certain place and then there are certain hazards that can occur, you can just shift it to another area. But the problem of shifting, the issue is you don't need to stress your chickens that much. And also in shifting, you have to also consider the issue of adjustment. They won't adjust to the new environment because when they are settling down, they have to be acquainted to the environment. So if you use the mobile chicken coop, you are going to be stressing your chickens. And then the chicken coop, which are stationed, the advantage of using stationed chicken coops is you have direct control in controlling the infections that might come from external factors, which are coming from, let's say, the predators, other birds. You can put mesh around to ensure that there's no direct communication from the outside world to the inside world. And then you can also ensure that you put systems of biosecurity to ensure that whenever you are accessing your chicken coop, you are sanitizing your hands, you are spraying even vehicles that are coming in your premises. So stationed chicken coop are an advantage on that regard. Disadvantage is that you are supposed to also have a proper disposal area, because when you are stationed, it means after every 2 to 3 weeks, you are supposed to remove litter, which is supposed to be approximately a kilometer away from a chicken coop where you lay out your compost. And it is supposed to be even away or like the opposite direction where the wind blows. So most people, they might have a disadvantage of not having enough space. They can have enough space for the chicken coop, but let's say they have 10,000 chickens in their structure. They now have a disadvantage of now when they want to dispose the litter, they might not have an easy or a place where to dispose. So they end up just disposing the litter near the chicken coop or opposite the wind direction, which will affect their chickens.
What are the most durable and cost-effective materials for building a large chicken coop?
Building a chicken coop is not as difficult. It's like I said earlier, the only thing that you need best is an engineer's advice so that they ensure that they site the chicken coop for you. So you need the zinc sheets that are going to use for roofing, and you might as well use them also for the foundation aspect if you're not going to be using the bricks. the most common thing that you don't have to compromise is the steel mesh wire with 30 millimeter holes that ensure that no even small bird can fly in and out. You can also use hose structures that are going to build the frame of your roof sheet if you are using zinc as your base. But in most cases, would prefer that at the foundation, you will use the bricks and then use mesh and you use the zinc sheets. And then the mesh wire will be just surrounding that area that I communicated to say the foundation from the bottom to the part, it can be 1.5 meters. And then the mesh will take another 1.8 meters so that your chicken structure to height, it can be an average of 3.5 meters high. But the most important thing is to ensure that this 30 millimeter mesh is at least 1.5 meters in height. So the material is the pine poles, mesh, the zinc. Those are the cheap materials that you can use, the zinc sheets.
Brian, what biosecurity measures should be incorporated into a coop design to prevent disease outbreaks?
The biosecurity measures, the first thing that has to be considered is also to understand what is the need of the biosecurity, because you want to ensure that you do not introduce infection, especially from external environment to your chickens, as well as preventing the internal environment to create also infections. Because if you do not do those biosecurity measures, you might also encounter infection coming from the external environment itself. So basically, the biosecurity measures is to ensure that before a person access the chicken or the farm, at the gates, all motor vehicles are supposed to be fumigated and disinfected. You would ensure when the customers, clients, or whosoever is visiting the farm, they are supposed to wear a face mask, and it will also help to reduce airborne infections. So if the tires are sprayed, the passengers, they get sanitized on exit of the vehicle, that is the first primary things that people need to do. And then the second aspect is to ensure that you have got dual fencing system. The first fencing system is the normal fence that has to be 1.5 meters high that separates the chicken coop to the public. And it's supposed to be 1 meter apart from the chicken coop. So it means if clients are coming or any visitor coming or even animals, if you keep other animals, they are not supposed to be 1 meter close to the chicken coop. So that is the first fencing system that every farmer should have, when especially they want to do commercial chicken farming. And then the second fence is the one that I call the internal fence, which has to be like a balloon, which goes up to the size of the chicken coop. And this one is mainly to prevent birds or flying objects to have direct also communication with the chicken coop. And this one can be just be next to the chicken coop. It can be 300 centimeters away from the chicken coop. And then on the entrance, you are supposed to have a foot bath where people dip their foot, and the water has to be treated so that every person who is entering the chicken house has to ensure that their feet are disinfected. And upon entering the chicken house, there should not be direct communication to the chicken. There should be a clear passage. That is where I said the engineers are well needed in that aspect. After you disinfect from the door, you are not supposed from that door, you are directly accessing the chicken house. There should be a direct passage which separates the chicken houses and as well as the showers. Because if you are dealing with your workers, they are supposed to go in bed before they go to the chicken houses. And they are also supposed to change the clothing. So the clothing that they use inside the chicken houses are not similar to the clothes that they use outside. So whenever they come to work, they bath, they change their clothes. And then when they come out, they go out again, they go and wash again. And then they wear different clothing using that same entrance. But the exit of the chicken is not the same entrance of the chicken. So it's supposed to be having at least 3 doors that are on your chicken coop to ensure that you are strictly preventing contamination or for infection from the outside world to the inside. And that other door that I'm mainly emphasizing on, the exit one, it is the one that we have to use to bring out the bedding. So when you bring out the bedding, when you're changing bedding, you use the exit door and you throw out your bedding, especially 2 weeks or 3 weeks when you change your litter.
And let's get into the nesting. How can nesting boxes be designed to optimize egg collection and minimize the breakage?
Nesting boxes can be designed in a form of using like plastic. Most people, they use steel, but if they are plastic, chances of breakages, they are low because plastic does not have a direct opposing force when an object hits on it. But if they use metal, they have to use aluminium rod, and they are supposed to be conical, like they should be designed like an egg shape. So when the egg drops inside that nesting box, it is not supposed to go on that surface. It is supposed to have free movement, and that free movement will ensure that it will not break. So in most cases, we require that people, they should use plastic nesting boxes, or if they are using the ones that are non-plastic, they should be concave in shape, because that concave in shape will ensure that the eggs will not break.
In a chicken coop, how does the watering system and the drainage system actually work?
In a chicken coop, it depends whether you are using technologies, the automated, or you are just using the natural. So I'll start with the automated. The automated is when your feeders are connected to the water supply from outside, and the pipes, they regulating the water that is inside the chicken coop, especially on the feeders. And once it is regulated, you ensure that you won't have much spillage, because most of the disaster of damping water is caused not by human, but is caused by the chicken themselves. Especially if you delay on feeding, there will tremor. So if you use the automated form of water feeding, that will be easier for you. But inside the chicken coop, they should be on the edges. The ground is supposed to be flat, but there should be a super elevation where there is a bit of a trench where if water sinks, it goes to that area and then it goes out. So when you build your chicken structure, it's not generally supposed to be directly flat. It's supposed to be flat, yes, but there should be a super elevation and then a leeway side where water can spill over, and then it goes to that trench which has got a receiving pipe outside. And we only do this, put this trench at super elevation for management purposes. But the main thing that you are supposed to be mainly relying on is changing your litter. Your litter is supposed to be maybe used from wood shavings or dried grass, which are supposed to be 50 millimeters thick. And if you don't know how to measure, if you put your palm, your index finger should sink directly in before you put your chickens. This will ensure that if there's any spillage, these wood shavings will absorb that water so that the surface of the bedding is supposed to be dry. And after 2 weeks or 3 weeks, depending on how there's damage on your chicken house, you are supposed to change that litter. But on the structure-wise, there's that super elevation and a small trench that you put, that you connect on the receiving pipe outside. But for farmers, we'd encourage them to ensure that they use proper bedding and they should change their litter within 3 weeks of production of their farming.
And finally, what are some of the common mistakes farmers make when building a coop?
The first mistake that farmers make when building a chicken coop, most farmers, well, like I have seen, they might go to an existing structure. Probably it was a storeroom, and then they'll just say, we want to use this house for chickens. So that is the common mistake, because they did not build the structure. They found available structure, they just clean it, and then they buy their chickens, they put it in there. And the common aspect that face there is, number one, access points are not well defined. So they are going to be using the same entrance to enter the chicken house and exit the chicken house, which is so dangerous in the sense of you are going to be bringing out infection in a passageway where you are not supposed to contaminate. So that is the first common aspect, that the farmers who are not building structures and using existing structures, not mainly designed for chicken production, will incur. And then the second aspect is issue of ventilation. For meat production, there are three types of chicken breeds. Most of them, if I even say, they are not tolerant to heat. So if the chicken house is not well ventilated, then you would ensure that those production of the chickens themselves on that particular farm will not reach to optimum capacity because the ventilation has been compromised. And lastly, you would also realize that most farmers, when those who are going to build the chicken structure, they use flat roofs on roofing. And that flat roof, it has a a problem in the sense of when there is wind pressure that will come, because we have different seasons. You put proper ventilation, and after put proper ventilation, and then you put the flat roof. The reason why the roofs are blown, like, let me just use a common example. People, I think they are acquainted shakes. A shake can be a strong shake, but the reason why it is blown by the wind is because the roof is flat. And the reason why our common houses are not blown by wind is because they use a triangular form where the sheets meet at an apex or at a certain angle. So when wind pressure from the west comes and meet with the pressure from the east, they are evenly distributed, and then the structure strength is reinforced. So the roofing is the most common other factor that farmers overlook. And the issue of siting, like I have said previously, some farmers, they site their chicken houses facing directly the sunlight. And you realize that chickens are always stressed because they need certain homes, but they don't need direct sunlight into the chicken coop. So those are the common aspects that farmers overlook, apart from the biosecurity things that I mentioned earlier. But on building the chicken structure, those are the things that they should really consider.
Thanks so much, Brian Nyakudaga, Chief Executive Officer at Temuka Oasis Farm. For more on the topic, visit www.foodformzanzi.co.za. And this week, we explore Molobatsi Mokafene's remarkable journey from a corporate career to becoming a hashtag soul sister. Her resilience inspired a new wave of women in the agricultural sector.
2021, I lost my job April. 2 months after that, I jumped into farming. And honestly, had that not happened, I wouldn't be here today, because then my entrepreneurial spirit kicked in then. Because I was comfortable. I had a full-time job, had nothing to worry about, benefits, I used to travel, everything was good. Until that was taken away from me, that's when I decided to think outside the box. My take on it is God will sometimes put you in situations to actually activate the spirit that's within you. So I'm very grateful for that. That painful experience led me to where I am today.
Molobatsi is one of the phenomenal women selected to participate in the 2023 Hashtag Soul Sister Program. Catch a full interview on www.foodformzanzi.co.za and on Food from Zanzi's YouTube channel. And that's it up. Remember to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform. From me, Octavius Pandil, our technical producer, Megan Vanderveen, and the rest of the Hashtag team, Food from Zanzi. Thanks for listening.
Life in South Africa can be a lot. I mean, scroll through Twitter for a minute and tell me I'm wrong. Thank God for South Africans though, right? We're inspiring, and even on the bad days, we fight back with a smile. That's why I love Food for Mzanzi so much. They're not ashamed to celebrate the ordinary unsung heroes who work every day to put food on our nation's tables. Go to foodformzanzi.co.za and never miss an inspiring story.